Hey friends, welcome to the City Hope Podcast. My name is Bobby Thompson, and I have the privilege of serving as a lead pastor. I pray that today's message would inspire you, it would encourage you, and it would also challenge you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy today's sermon.
We give our worship team just a big thank you for leading us this morning. Great job, guys. Wow, what an incredible time already. Well, once again, good morning. Thank you guys for being here. My name's Bobby. If I haven't had the opportunity to meet you yet, man, I can't tell you how grateful we are that you are excited to be. If this is one of your first times, we want to extend just a special thank you for being here. This is really, really fresh and new, and everything's new and exciting. And so I know some of you regular attenders, sickness has been going on, so I want to thank you for not showing up the last couple weeks. Thank you for staying home. But you know, one of the things that we really, really, really want to try and make sure that we do is connecting people, right? That's what it's all about. We want to connect with the Lord, and that's why we sing songs and do those kind of things. But we want you to connect. We don't want you to feel isolated. And so one of the best ways to do that, again, if you're new, stop by and we'll get some information from you, give you some more information about us. But one of the greatest ways that I think coming together, bringing people together, is free food. All right, anybody with me on that? Anybody down for some free food? So tonight from 4 to 6, all right, free food. All right, Low Country Boil. It's going to be awesome. We're going to have a lot of fun, and I'm kind of going to make a little executive decision here. We're going to put the NFL game on. All right, so you have no reason why not to show up tonight. All right, so I just took a burden off some of you guys in this place. Hopefully, no arguments. All right. So, last week we started it, and it's a different kind of series. We're not really walking through any certain book of the Bible. What I really felt the Lord stirring in my soul and in my heart is for us just to share with where we're headed. Where are we going as a church? What's the vision that God's given us? Where is God guiding us as a church body? And so if you weren't able to be here last week, let me encourage you, go back and listen to week one. If you want to know who we are and what we're all about and where we feel like the Lord is taking us as a church, if you're trying to figure out, you know, hey, what am I signing up for when I go to this City Hope Church? Go back and listen to week one. I do want to say this, little commercial here. I talked about this, and I kind of joked about it last week, but I want you to know I wasn't joking, all right? Because we have one service, we're gonna stretch our service times out just a little bit. Now, don't get all crazy, all right? You're still going to get out early for lunch, I promise, all right? But I was reminded this week, somebody reminded me of this story. We had the opportunity to go to Zambia in 2025, and we went over there, and we were just ministering and seeing the mission, all the work that our partner does there. And on Sunday, we drove to church, and along the way, as we were driving to church, we have a van full of people, a bus full of people. Along the way, we would just stop and pick up random people, right? And I was like, I guess this is normal. And so we would get there, and when we started picking up people, I was like, oh, well, we must be right around the corner, right? And I was like, what is going on? Because, you know, some of these people were in, and we're still like 30 minutes down the road, and we still weren't there. And I'm like, golly, do these people, and what we found out is these people walk hours to church every Sunday. He told us this story. He got up and he preached, and he's an American, and so he preached for about 40 minutes, and she was mad. She was so angry with him. And she's like, what are you doing? And he's thinking, oh man, I preached too long. And she said, I walked 2 hours to get to church, and all you're going to give me is 40 minutes? That's not enough. And so it's all about perspective, right? It's all about, you know, what do I? So we are going to stretch our services out. I'm just giving you a little bit of warning. So you can tell grandma you'll be a little bit late to lunch, all right? But I promise you, we won't be super long, all right? It is vital, the foundation for this series, Proverbs chapter 29, where there is no vision, people perish. Speaking to the church, God was speaking to my life and your life, God was speaking to his people, and that's why I feel like this is such a great reminder. Any church that you choose, I want you to make sure that you know God's vision for that church. I want you to know God's vision for your life, because where there is no vision, we falter, We fall into destruction. We fall into things that weren't meant for us. But last week we shared the vision. Knowing the vision is just half the battle, right? Knowing the vision is half the battle. The other side of this is being obedient to the vision. Doing what God's word tells us to do. Doing what God asks us to do. And so today, that's what we're going to hit on. Last week was more about the vision for anybody here at City Hope. This week is more about obedience to that vision. Now, I want to tell you right off the top, this is not about me pressuring you to do anything, all right? What my heart this week and for the last couple months as I've been praying through this series is for you to, for your mind and your heart to be unlocked to the possibilities of what God can do in your life when you say yes that he's given you. So if you have your Bibles, go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6 is where we're going to be today. There's over 70 verses here in this chapter, so we're not going to read all of them. But let me give you a little bit of context before is on his he's doing his earthly ministry. Right? We're reading about through the book of John, just the different things he was doing. He was healing people. Many of you have heard the story where he fed over 5,000 people with fish and bread, right? You guys may have heard that story before. He walks on water to his disciples. And so Jesus is doing some amazing stuff. Just imagine seeing that with your own eyes. Imagine seeing Jesus doing these miracles and all that was going on. So many people, not just Jesus' 12 disciples, many people, the Bible said, watched. And so once they watched him do these things, what did that create in them? That created some questions. It created some, I wonder really what's going on here. So they wanted to have a little bit of a conversation with Jesus. And so we're going to pick that conversation up in John chapter 6, verse number 22, all right? So if you found that, if not, it'll be here with me just in honor of the reading of God's word. And so some of you don't fall asleep this morning. All right, and we'll read down just about, I don't know, 10 or 12 verses here, all right? The next day, the crowd had stayed on the other side of the sea. They had saw there, there'd only been one boat. All right, so remember, this is after they watched Jesus do these miracles, after they watched Jesus walk on water. They also saw that Jesus had not boarded the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone off alone. So how did he get on that boat? Some boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread and the Lord had given thanks. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there anymore, they got into the boat for Jesus. Verse 25, when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said, Rabbi, when did you get here? Now watch what Jesus does here in verse 26. He answers, truly I tell you, you're looking for me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Don't work for the food that perishes, but for the food that lasts for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set a seal of approval on him. Now look what they asked Jesus. What can we do to perform the works of God, they asked. This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he has sent. And so they're like, what do we do? Jesus says, I am the work of God. You need to believe in me. And then look what they ask in verse 30. Well, what sign then are you going to give so that we may see and believe you? You got to give us something here, Jesus. What are you going to perform that we know it's you? They just watched him do all these miracles. Verse 31. Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, just as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. So now they're not only not listening to what Jesus is saying, they're throwing history in his face. Moses, remember when our ancestors were in the wilderness? God gave them bread. What are you going to give to us? Verse 32, Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, Moses didn't give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said, well, sir, give us the bread anyway. Give us the bread anyway. And then Jesus drops a bomb on them. Verse 35. He says, I am the bread of life, Jesus told them. No one who comes to me will ever be hungry. No one who believes in me will ever be thirsty again. But in me, and yet you do not believe. Would you pray with me? Father, bless the reading of your word. Use it like only you can. You know each and every one of our stories. You care about us. You love us. And God, I pray that today you would push us. You would challenge us. You would grow us.
closer to you, closer to one another, closer as the body of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. So Jesus is having this conversation. They're kind of stuck in the mud here. They're digging in. They want all of this stuff. They've been more miracles. And Jesus drops the bomb and he says, guys, listen, I am the bread of life. And so he's here and he's not just here to meet their physical needs. He's offering them himself because that's what truly satisfies. That's what he's trying to get them to understand. So the crowd, what do they want? They want more miracles. They want full bellies. But Jesus is saying, no, that stuff isn't what I'm really here for. What I'm here for is for you to surrender to me. Now, I'm giving you these things because I want you to see the miracles, but Jesus wants out miracles. It's more about your faith and your surrender to me. And so the crowd wants the miracles, and they go back and forth a little bit more. Skip down to verse 60 here. All right, and in verse 60, watch this. Therefore, when many of the disciples heard this, Jesus is calling for commitment, right? They want bread, they want miracles, and he's saying, no, you need me. You need to make me Lord of your life. You need to commit to me and living the way I'm calling you to live. And so many of the disciples, verse 60, heard this and they said, this teaching's hard. Who can accept it? Like, man, we just want you to do some miracles. Do some really cool things in our lives. And the disciples themselves say, man, this is tough. I don't know about this. And then watch this. Watch in verse 66. Look what happens. Jesus gives a little bit more teaching here. And then it says this in verse 66. From that moment, many of his disciples turned back and no longer accompanied him. I mean, come on, are you serious? Like, when I first read this, my initial reaction to this is, man, you guys are, like, did you not just witness everything that this guy can do? Did you not just see everything that this man is all about? Like, are you really, really, really that dumb? Jesus, when he's feeding the crowds, right? But not everybody stays when he asks for commitment. Many of the disciples turned back. It's like, y'all a bunch of punks. Y'all just take the easy way out, right? All that Jesus did for you, and as soon as something gets hard, you bail out. Bunch of soft people. God quickly reminded me this week as I was angry at these disciples, and he said, Bobby, you've done that before. Bobby, how many times have I shown you that I'm going to show up in your life, but you try to do it your way instead? And church, let me just say this. Guess what? You have to. As much as we look at these guys and call them soft and call them punks, guess what? We've done the same things. Every single one of us in this room, no matter how long you've been committed to the Lord, we've all not been at some point as committed as God would have called us to be. And try to do it our own way. And the only phrase that I can really think of when I started thinking about this week, Christianity, which means when everything is good, when everything's going well, then I'm all in. But as soon as things get hard, or as soon as my schedule has a little bit of a toughness, I'm out. I'm okay. I'm good. And can we just, can we just be real this morning? I think, I've lived here in Bluffton, in this area for six or seven. I don't really know. Sorry, girls. They're like dying up here. We've lived here for about 6 or 7 years. We really have. But you know what I've realized? And this might be tough. That's the culture here. The culture here is, man, I serve Jesus when it's convenient. I serve the Lord. You know, I'll step in when it's good. I'll step in when I don't have anything else to do. But cultural Christianity is a really big deal here in Bluffton, South Carolina. And here's one of the takeaways today. You're going to want to write this down. You're going to want to take a picture of this, all right, if you didn't bring anything to write with. The real test of faith isn't inspiration. It's inconvenience.
It's not inspiration. It's not that I wake up every day and I'm just ready to serve the Lord and, oh, it's a beautiful day and I got Forrest Frank blaring in the background and, man, I'm just going to go attack the day. Man, that's awesome, right? But the real test of faith is when it's inconvenient, when I don't feel like doing it. Inspiration is easy. When I'm inspired, when Jesus is feeding me and he's helping me and he's blessing me and he's blessing my kids and he's blessing my family and he's fixing things and he's answering prayers, guess what? That kind of faith is easy to live because it really doesn't cost me much at all. But inconvenience is the real test. Our faith gets tested when following Jesus interrupts my schedule. It stretches out my comfort. Oh, I don't know about this. It challenges my preferences. It asks me to obey when I don't really want to or when I don't really feel like it. Now, I hope this frees somebody up today, and I want you to hear this, right? This is one of those truths that you know, you guys probably have all seen this, and maybe you do this. You see the little kid on the team who thinks he's really, really good because his mom's all, but everybody knows he shouldn't be on the team or he shouldn't be in the game, all right? Don't act like you don't do that. I mean, we all do that. Like, we understand it because bless mom's heart. She doesn't want to hurt his feelings. That's okay, all right? Keep telling him, mom, all right? But can I just, I hope to this frees you up a little bit today, so I'm going to tell you a hard truth. If your faith disappears under pressure, it was never your identity. It was your environment. So let me say that again. If your faith disappears under pressure, it was never your identity. We're charged with faith and we're full of faith in an environment of faith where it's easy, right? It's easy to love Jesus. It's easy to sing songs. It's easy. But we're empty once we leave because it's not my identity. It was just my environment that I was in. And so because of this, we have moments where I'm hot and I'm on fire for Christ. And then I'm cold, where I'm ice cold for Christ. Why? Because we only have a public faith without private dedication. I wasn't going to share this, but I'm going to. Last night, Sheer and I were sitting in bed. We were talking, and I was going over my sermons, the last thing I do every Saturday night before I go to bed, unless the UFC's on. Then I watch a fight, and then I do it. But I was sitting in bed last night, and I was just praying over this message. I was praying for you. I was praying for God to use today. And this thought just hit me. Yesterday we did a big marriage training for Upham, and we went to dinner last night, and we were talking a lot about AI and ChatGPT, and we were showing pictures of, you know, how you can put your grandma on ChatGPT and they can make her do a flip, and it's just craziness, right? And so I was thinking, I was laying there in bed and I was thinking, you know, I was thinking about, man, all these disciples left Jesus and people do that today. And so I don't know why I did this, but I just got my phone out and I asked Chat this question. If you were going to keep modern day Christians from serving the Lord, what would you do? This is what he said. If I were trying to keep modern day Christians from truly serving Jesus, I wouldn't attack Jesus directly. I would distract, dilute, and dull their devotion. I would make faith convenient and not costly. Keep Jesus as an add-on, not Lord. Comfortable Christianity never changes anyone. I would keep them busy but shallow. Pack their schedules, little bit of prayer. Activity replaces intimacy. I would turn church into content. Consume sermons but never obey them. Knowledge without obedience breeds pride. It says, I would isolate them. Lone ranger faith feels spiritual, but has no accountability or sharpening. I would redefine truth, feelings over scripture every time. Listen to this. I would normalize sin with grace language. God forgives becomes, God doesn't care that you did that.
Good. I'm about to get some of y'all mad. I would create outrage addicts. Keep them. I would blur people's identity. I would be more about America, Democrat, Republican, and influencer than I would be about being a disciple. I would kill urgency. Tomorrow is always a better day to obey than today. And then the last one he says, I would make Jesus safe, inspirational, but never disruptive. And then I didn't ask for this. It gave me a little like synopsis sentence at the end. It says, my opinion, ? The enemy does not need to stop Christians from believing in Jesus. They just need to keep them from following him. Church, we're reading a story where people saw Jesus do miracles. Where people saw Jesus, and when he showed up and they just asked for more miracles, they asked for more. And he says, wait a minute, I'm the bread of life. Not what I'm doing for you. I'm the bread of life. Commit to me. And the Bible says, they looked at each other and said, man, this is hard. I'm out. You mean I gotta do what this guy says? I just want his blessings. I gotta do what he says. He said, look, how do we turn from being a fan of Jesus to a follower of Jesus? I think we got a lot of fans in churches today. So look what Jesus does. The Bible says that they asked the question, they went back and forth, many of them turned away, and then watch what Jesus does here. Verse 67. So Jesus turned to the 12 and he said, you don't want to go away too, do you? And Simon Peter answered, I love Peter. He's always got a big mouth. Lord, where will we go? You have the words of eternal life. I know that you are the Holy God. Did you notice that Jesus didn't take off after the crowd and start begging? Now, come on back, guys. Come on back. It's okay. I promise. I'll make it a little easier for you. I promise. And Jesus doesn't chase the crowd. He turns to the ones that have been committed to him, and he goes, what about you? You going to leave too? You going to take a step out of here? Peter's like, where else am I going to go? Like, I don't know what else to do. But here's another truth, all right? Maybe it'd be a hard truth for you today. But following Jesus always leads us to a decision. Leads us to a decision. Am I going to coast? Am I going to commit? Or am I going to quit? Am I going to coast? Am I going to commit? Or am I going to quit? And this is what, to me, is so great about Jesus. He doesn't say, okay, everybody come back and we'll not make it as hard. We're going to make it as easy. I know I might have hurt your feelings, but no. Jesus doesn't lower the bar. What does he do? He clarifies the cost. He doesn't lower the bar and be like, okay, well, okay, we were going to start at 7 days a week, but now we're just going to order. You know what? Just 1 hour. 1 hour a week is all I need out of you. Jesus doesn't lower the bar. Single aspect of your life. Think about this. From your work life to your relationships to every aspect to being a healthy person, every single aspect of our lives, but especially following Christ, commitment is where transformation happens. When I am committed to something, that's when true life change happens. Last week, I shared with you kind of the refined mission that I feel like God is given to City Hope Church. It's been stirring in my soul. And thank you for not butchering it. I was a little worried about that. But our mission is to lead everyday people, to lead everyday people to experience Jesus. But we're not going to stop there. We're not just going to stop, oh, Jesus fed 5,000. That's awesome. That's amazing. Oh, Jesus walked on water. That's great. I experienced that. But guess what? We also want to lead people to follow him in ways that change the world. And so I challenged you last week with this question. If you weren't here, let me challenge you today. What would it look like if you adopted this mission statement in your life, in your home, in your workplace, everything in your life? You adopted this mission. And so what I'm doing today, what we're doing today as a church, I'm trying to lead you into following Jesus in ways that are going to change the world, that have the ability to change the world. And so what I want you to understand here today, and maybe I shouldn't say it like this, but this is just my heart. I don't want you to just attend City Hope Church. I don't want you to just agree with this mission and clap at it. I want you to live it. I want you to be committed to it. You don't grow best by attending church one time on a Sunday. You grow by belonging, formed. You grow by being sent out of your comfort zone. I just love what Jesus does. And I try to put myself in these stories, right? And Jesus, all these miracles for all these people, and they're watching him. And I just imagine the crowd is standing here, and they're talking to Jesus, and his 12 disciples are behind him. And they're like, man, this is tough. I don't know if we can do this. And like they just start walking away. Jesus is like, And he turns and, what about you guys? Y'all going with them? Is this too hard for you? I mean, if you're ready to go. And you know what Jesus was asking? You got to hear this today. Because some of you got some baggage from church, right, from growing up around this. Jesus wasn't asking the disciples to be perfect. He was asking them for their presence. He wasn't like, hey, you guys got to live this way and do this and have this checklist. No, no, no. He wasn't asking for perfection. He was asking for their presence. What about you? I really want you to stay and serve. I really want you to understand that I'm the bread of life. And you, it's about making a commitment to the Lord through the local church. And making a commitment to City Hope. And let me just say this. We're not a perfect church. You know that. We're not a perfect church, but can I tell you what? We're a committed church. We're going to follow Jesus. When we talk about, let's get in a little practical, right? A little pragmatic type of, when we talk about church, some of you grew up in a church. I was thinking about this while we were worshiping. It was like Pentecostal and people were dancing and screaming and running around. Anybody grow up like that? All right, it's a few of you, all right? It shows because you guys are like vanilla in here. How many of you grew up in church where like there was no clapping, you didn't move, like it was pretty stoic? Anybody? Okay, that's why. Good gravy. God, there's a bunch of people, Joe. We got work to do. How many of you grew up Baptist where all you could do is like go right here? Like this was raising your hand right here. Yeah, I get it. Yeah. They raise their hand like that right now. Here. What does it mean? Like what does it mean to be a part of a church? I was thinking about that this week and for a while now. And I'm not talking today about putting your name on a list. I'm talking about stepping into a spiritual family. That's what, to me, I'm pointing fingers at myself. We've made church a membership and partnership. We've made it kind of this weird thing. I put my name on a list and they read and they always ask me for money. All that stuff's important. But what I'm really asking you today is to make a commitment to the Lord, because his word says the local church, the body of Christ, is the vehicle that he is using to reach the world, okay? And so therefore, you and I, as followers of Jesus, it may be hard teaching for you, but we need to understand that if I'm gonna follow him, I need to be obedient, not just to his vision, but I wanna be obedient, not just listen, but do what he says. And so I need to be to a spiritual family. And so today, here in just a minute, I'm gonna encourage you, and I'm gonna invite you, and I'm gonna ask you to make a commitment to City Hope Church. And it's not about putting your name on a list. It's about being a part of a spiritual family. And a family means what? That you're known, that you're covered, that you're challenged, that you're sent out on mission. The scriptures say that we are members of one body, right? God's church, the big of an event. That's not what being a part of a church is. We are bodies of Christ. Only work when we're connected. Go dig in. I don't have time to go into it. Go dig into Acts chapter 2, the early church. and look at what they did. Look at the things that they valued in their life. They gathered together constantly. They devoted themselves together. They belonged together. They served together. They grew together. And so what we've tried to do here at City Hope Church is create this spiritual family. And I was having some just good talks this week. And here's where I feel like we're at as a church. So when you plan a church, all right, you just do things, right? Like, oh, yeah, we need a TV. Let's go get a TV, right? Yeah, we need somebody to lead worship. Let's find somebody that can sing, right? And so as we planted this church, we started to basically, we built the plane before we even knew how to fly it, right? We built the plane based on, my background and Stephen's background and the six families that helped us build it and, just ideas. And so we built the plane and we're flying, right? And now I feel like we're getting into a season where we're taking a step back and being able to go, okay, in the air, how did we build that wing? Is that wing good for us? Like, do we need to, is that wing a little small? how are the pilots doing, right? We need some more stewardesses because we need a bigger plane, right? And so I feel like this is the season we're in right now. God's blessed us mightily. I mean, look around here. God's blessed us so much. And for a bunch of people who have no idea what they're doing, I'm so grateful. But what we've tried to do over this time is to build out a process to help you, lead, to help you be stretched, to help you be uncomfortable, to help you dig into God's word, to help you. And so I want to give you a very simple, and maybe one of these are your next step, all right? These are just things that we've got going on right now in our church that maybe one of these are your next step. And I'm going to ask you as I go through these, you've heard of some of these before, but some of these are going to be new. And maybe God's saying, hey, that's for you. That's what I need from you. We built a simple pathway because spiritual growth, this is why this is important. Why did we build a process? Spiritual growth rarely happens on accident. It rarely happens on accident that I don't have any intention, I don't have any direction, I don't have any process. Just like, guess what? You wake up every day and you don't go to the gym, right? It doesn't happen on accident. You got to put some purpose and some process behind it. So let me give you these real quick. I'm not sure if they're all on one or, okay, there you go. All right, so listen, this is just part of our process. Number one is the loop. Number one is the loop. Some of you have heard about this before. This is the way, if you want to become a member of City Hope Church, you got to get in the loop, all right? So the first Sunday of every month is less than 60 minutes, all right? Are we giving them food? We're gonna give them food, all right, just to make you come, all right? You ask for bread, disciples, we'll give you bread, all right? So this is who we are. This is why we exist. This is what we're all about. This is how you fit in. Okay, so if maybe you've never taken this. Now, here's something we did. We used to have three classes. Guess what? You're lucky. We only have one now, all right? So we have one class, less than an hour. Step two and step three, we've put them online, right? Because we know you like sitting in bed scrolling on your phone, all right? And so what we've done is we've made the wing a little different. Bed, scroll on your phone and go to step two and go to step three, and they're super short. And so if you want to belong to City Hope Church, you're ready to make a commitment, get in the loop, all right? As soon as you leave today, there's some tables over here, and one of them is gonna be a place that you can sign up for the loop today. First Sunday in February, we're gonna start it. If you've never been, go. Number two, small groups. Small groups, most of you, if you've been to any kind of church, you understand community matters. This is where you find encouragement. This is where you find growth. This is where you find friends. This is where you find accountability. And guess what? Right now is a awesome time. If you just want to try, man, we're not in a group, my life's busy, stop it. Right now, here's what we're doing. We're getting ready to have a marriage conference at the end of February. By the way, Chris and Sophie in here, where are they at? Chris and Sophie, hey, good to see you guys, all right? Chris and Sophie are here. They're going to be leading our marriage conference. They led our training yesterday with many of our small group leaders. And let me tell you, for the next 6 weeks in our small group, perfect time for you to try it out. This will be a trial. So that means if you hate it after 6 weeks, you can be like, oh, we got things to do. Like go for 6 weeks. If you're married, this is perfect, all right? Get in a group for 6 weeks, for the next 6 weeks,
And we're going to talk about marriage. We're going to be doing some things leading up to the marriage conference at the end of February. By the way, register for that. We want you to be there. But this is the perfect time for you to start. As soon as you leave today, you're going to walk around this curtain. Guess what? There's a table right there. You can get your questions answered. You can figure it out. You can figure out who's in your group and where you're going to go and all that stuff. We've got people here for you. Number three, roots. This is new. Nobody in here has been through this. My small group's kind of been the guinea pig for this. I've been doing this for them. This is where, if you're ready, maybe this you're a new Christian and you just need to know a little bit more information, this is where one-on-one discipleship's going to happen. If you want one person, maybe people you in 10 basic essentials of what it means to be a follower of Christ, we've created this process for you. You can get involved in that today. D groups or discipleship groups. We have some that meet, you know, at Starbucks at 6 a.m. and they're walking through books and helping. We've got some that meet at other times and they're just, it's a little bit deeper. It's not 12 to 15 people and it's more of a tight-knit, intentional time to grow. Where, man, I just want to grow as a disciple. I want to get eschatology. I want to study soteriology. I want to study all those hard words that I don't even understand what they mean. That's what deep crew. This is where kind of rubber meets the road. I want to say this. This morning we had, how many did you say? 16, 14? 14 people showed up here at 6:30 in the morning to get this place ready for you. All right? That is somebody saying, you know what? I may not be able to stand up there and preach, but I can give some time. I may not be able to do, you know, I may not want to go sit in the kids and you know, pat babies on the back that are crying, but I can show up and give my time and help in this way. I can help create an environment. There's so many to get involved. Now, hear what I'm saying, okay? These are not steps to complete. These are not boxes to check. This is a pathway for you and I to become the people that God's called us to be. Vision doesn't move forward just because we agree with it. It moves forward when we commit to it. So my question to you is not, well, do you like City Hope Church? That's not my question for you today. My question for you today is this church the place where God is calling you to plant your roots, to send into the world to be disciples like he's called us to be? That's what we're all about. That's not just church language. That's the life that Jesus invites us into. I'm 9 minutes over. I'm landing the plane, all right? So let me make this really, really practical for you today. If you're asking yourself, well, what does this commitment look like for me? What does this look like for my family? What does this look for me right now today? What's today? January 11th, 2026. What does that mean for me? Let me give you three things real quick. Number one, commit. If this is your church, Take the step of becoming an official partner. Not because we need your name on a list, but because you need a spiritual family. You need a spiritual family. Sign up for the loop today. Make a commitment to be a part of the Hope Crew. Sign up to make a commitment. Number two, grow. Grow. What do I need to do? Okay, I need to begin to grow. If you're not in a group, get in one. Faith grows best. You guys might have heard this before. Faith always grows best in circles, not rows. When we're huddled around a fire, when we're huddled around a dinner table, when we're huddled around somebody's living room, don't wait until you feel ready. Don't wait until my schedule works out. Growth happens when you show up. Show up. Sign up for a group today. Commit. Grow. Be sent. Be sent. Like, this is where the disciples watched so many people walk away. They said, well, we ain't going anywhere. I don't have anywhere else to go. Serving God, listen, it's about activating your faith. It's about doing what God tells you to do. You don't have to do everything today. Commit, grow, be sent. You don't have to do it all today, but you need to do something. I don't think God's sitting here calling you to do nothing. I'll just keep it the way it has been. Here's what we learned from our story today. Crowds watch. Disciples stay. I'm not here to build a crowd.
We're in a gym. Thank God the sun's out so we can see each other, right? I'm proud. And so Jesus turned and he looked at the disciples and he asked that question. And my question to you is the same thing today. What about you? What about you? What's the step of commitment God's asking from you today? What's the next step on your journey? Maybe it's small, maybe it's big. Maybe it's something we talked about, maybe it's something totally, totally separate. What's your commitment today? What's God asking you to commit to today? Some of you, listen, some of you in here, you've been through it, man, and you're serving and you're honoring the Lord. You're doing the best you can and you're giving and you're showing up every time and you feel like, man, I'm doing all these things. Don't stop. You're honoring the Lord. It doesn't matter that the crowd's leaving, you stay strong. Don't join the crowd because that's the easy way out. You stay strong. You keep serving. You keep honoring. You keep growing and watch the Lord continue to use you. I'm gonna ask you today just to bow your heads and close your eyes. Still gonna get out early. I've been praying all week that the Holy Spirit of God would challenge you today. Not Bobby's words, not Bobby's sermon or these points that I'm putting on the screen, but God's word would challenge you. That the Holy Spirit would just dwell up something in you, said, I gotta take a step. I need more. And as a church, as a spiritual family, help. We want to help lead you into making decisions and following the Lord that are going to change people's lives. And guess what? It might start with a decision that you make today that changes somebody's life in your house. You start looking at church different. You start looking at serving the Lord different. You know what? I kind of feel like the crowd where when everything's good and I'm getting blessings and God's doing this, man, I'm all in. But as soon, wait a minute, I am the gift. I am the bread of life. As soon as he starts asking for it, I just feel in my spirit that I'm, and maybe God's calling you today to make a commitment. Say, you know what? No more half in, half out. No more just thinking, but doing. What's the commitment God's asking you for today, church? If City Hope is the place where God's led you and your family, then make a commitment today. If God's stirring in your soul, the Holy Spirit speaking to you, hey man, you got some things going really well, but it's time to take a step. Time to get into somebody's life and disciple. Time to get in a small group. What does that look like? Am I going to coast? Am I going to commit? Am I going to quit? May we be a church that doesn't quit. If we find ourselves coasting, we get right back on track. And we commit to who God's called us to be. Father, I love you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your grace and your mercy, Lord. Holy to our hearts. If there's one here that is really relating with the crowd that has said this is really hard and I'm walking away, and maybe today you've opened their eyes that that's what they've been doing, that's what they've been living. It's a cultural thing. And God, today I pray for conviction. I pray for a mighty, mighty, mighty fresh dose of courage to step out and say enough's enough. We're going to commit. We're going all in. And Lord, show them what that looks like. Lord, I pray that today, if there's some here that are growing weary of doing well, they're striving, they're committed, they're all in, and they feel like one of the 12, and maybe to back at their life, and you're saying, well, what about you? And God, I pray that today you would give them more strength, you would give them more freedom, you would give them more understanding, you would give them more grace, and you would help them understand this isn't for the crowd. And Lord, wherever we're at today, first time in the room, been in the room since day one. Convict us. Show us where we need to be challenged. Show us where we need to be changed. And give us the courage and boldness to take the step. Not just leave here thinking about it, but to take the step. Thank you for allowing us to experience you. Thank you for allowing us to serve you. We love you. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name.
Thanks again for tuning in with us today. We would love to connect with you, and the best way to do that is through social media or go straight to our website. God bless you and have a wonderful day.